Good morning, Tom Brady. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, I was on a little rant a few minutes ago, and I said this seems to be the perfect kind of win to get you to the bye week. There's plenty of things to correct, so Bill will have some coachable moments. It was not an easy blowout win, so that won't be any complacency during the bye week. There was a critical clutch 2.5-minute drive at the end of the game to toughen up your team, plus an improving defense. Do you agree or disagree with that, Tom?
Well, I think that a bye week always comes at a good time, no matter what part of the season, because it's, you know, all the guys need it to kind of get those little bumps and bruises and get those healed up and be ready for really now a long push after, we start against Pittsburgh in a few weeks. But we're always trying to improve things. I don't think we ever come out of a game thinking, yeah, you know, we got everything figured out. Especially a game like yesterday where we're all pretty proud of the way that we pulled it out. It was a great team win. The defense really stepped it up, when we needed them to. And I think offensively we did some things when we needed to as well. So, when you play a good football team like that, you got to win those games. And, we had a chance. We had an opportunity to do it and we took advantage of it.
Tom, when the offense turns it over 4 times and the defense allows just 6 points off of those turnovers, is there a stated or implied thank you to the defense when you get in the locker room? And is that what you mean when you say complimentary football?
No question. That's Coach Belichick has really been stressing that. That when the offense turns it over, not to allow points, and when the defense gets a turnover, for us to get the ball in the end zone. So that is complimentary football, and that's a team really working together, understanding the situation, and then going out there and capitalizing. So offensively, I don't think we necessarily did that this past game. And we got plenty of things we got to work on. But to turn it over 4 times and still win, I mean, that hardly ever happens. So I think we're pretty fortunate there.
Hey, and Tom, I know you can't get into names, but hypothetically, there's a day and a half here, or not a day and a half, a day till trade deadline. Could a team acquire a guy, say a wide receiver, and could he learn, and by the time the next time you play, could he learn enough to be a contributing member of the offense?
Well, I don't know. There's different guys. Like we got Deion last year at the trade, and he came in and did pretty well.
Right.
So, I mean, whatever position, kicker is probably the easiest. You don't have to do much. There's only one formation.
Right.
But, I mean, a lot of guys switch teams at this time of year. It's just part of the process of the league, we had to do our job. That's what we need to do, and we all need to do a better job of that as we go forward.
Tom, you've earned the right, given your fourth quarter comebacks and Super Bowl victories, to have the reins taken off you when there's 2.5 minutes left to go. On the other side of the coin, if a coach takes the ball out of the quarterback's hands when they need a critical first down and makes him run it, is that a lack of confidence? If you're that quarterback, do you say, man, my coach doesn't trust me? And does that hurt your confidence going forward?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there's times where we've had time on the clock before the 2-minute drive, before a half, and Coach Belichick says, you know, we're going to take a knee here. So I don't look at it like that. I mean, the team and the coach is doing what he thinks is what he needs to do to win. So, you know, our coach doesn't really lack confidence, any of us. When he lacks confidence, you're usually gone.
Mm.
So, if you're on this team, you're expected to perform and to play well, and those are the expectations that he has for us.
I know you're going to be self-deprecating here, so let's just set this as another hypothetical. What is the dynamic that sets apart a good quarterback in the National Football League from a great one in the National Football League who can succeed in the final couple of minutes of the game when you need 3 or 6 points to win the game? What's that dynamic? What's the difference?
I think there's a lot of things that it takes to be a great quarterback, and it's not necessarily, you know, what you're able to do at the combine. I think a lot of guys have proven that over the years. And you have a lot of quarterbacks that get some opportunity and never really take advantage of it. And you got other quarterbacks like Tony Romo who, you know, get few opportunities and really takes advantage of it and becomes a damn good player. So quarterbacks come from every school, we're of every size. I mean, I played with Doug Flutie who was one of the smallest quarterbacks ever to play the position, shortest, but, you know, one of the biggest hearts you've ever played with. So there's so many things that go into making a great football player, period. And, and it's not always your 40 time. So, you know, a lot of guys have to dig deep. They're mentally tough, and they take advantage of the opportunities. I think that's what being a good football player is all about.
Tom, when you get into the final 2 minutes and 31 seconds, does anything change? Does that dynamic change? You hear people say the game slows down for you. It's more easily understood. Or did the last 2.5 minutes feel like the previous, you know, three and a half quarters of football?
Well, I mean, at that point, you got a pretty good feel for what you're doing. You got a pretty good feel for your matchups, the coverages you're seeing. You know, obviously, it wasn't our best offensive performance out there yesterday, but if the score is, you know, 44-41, you still got to go down and score points. So, you know, I think the situation was we had 2 minutes there and we had a chance to win the game. All the offensive guys, as I said after the game, you know, we work on that every week. Every single week we have 2 minute drives in practice against our defense, against the scout team, and we're expected to go out there and execute. So I don't think that there was a guy on that offense that didn't think we could go down and score points. And ultimately, once we got into position, we were going for the win. And, you know, a lot of the guys, every single guy on the offense really executed at a high level. And that's really what it took, because we didn't really execute at a high level all day. And that's why I think we came out of the game with not scoring as many points as we would have hoped.
Were you glad that the Cowboys ran it three times when they had it with 3.5 minutes left, just ran it into the line and gave you the ball back?
Well, look, we practice that situation as well. We call it a 4-minute offense when you're ahead and you got to try to run the clock out. I think the first down was a run, and then they got a penalty at one point, right?
Yep.
So that always hurts you. And then on the third and long, you know, it's chances of picking up a third and long are probably 15-20% anyway. So, you know, they're banking on the fact that we can't go down and score if they kick it to us. And, you know, they made it tough on us. They made it tough on us all day. They weren't a lot of easy throws out there, I say. They really made us earn it. And that's really the hallmark of that team, and especially a Rob Ryan coach team who's a damn good coach, damn good coordinator. And, you know, he was here and helped us win some Super Bowls. So we know kind of how he had those guys playing, and they played a great game on defense.
Tom, what does Rob Ryan do defensively that others don't do to present problems? And explain it to us like we're five.
It's just that. There's just nothing easy out there. He doesn't give you any easy throws. He tries to take away your main routes. He tries to double coverage your main receivers. And they did a lot of that. They put a lot of extra guys in coverage that teams typically don't do. And, that was to more get our receivers, and they were rushing three guys most of the time. And they force you to throw the ball even with those three guys because they're very good pass rushers. So, anytime you can drop a lot of guys into coverage and still get pressure on the quarterback, that's pretty good defense. And he mixed it up well enough where it wasn't always that, where he'd pressure us, but then he'd also, you know, back off and play coverage. Mm-hmm. So it just made it tough. And I think there were plays out there that we certainly could have executed. I mean, we don't need to not execute the play even if they do that. There were plenty of times where we could have done a better job, and we got down close in the red area and didn't really take advantage. So, you know, we kicked the field goal on the opening drive. We kicked the field goal on another drive. You know, we got into the scoring zone and turned the ball over on another drive. So it's, you know, those are all limit points. And when you limit points against a good team, you know, it ends up being a close game. And, you know, we made the plays at the end in order to win the game.
Yeah, we see you talking to Ocho Cinco. You know, since he got here, it seemed like you guys have had good relationship, communicating on the sideline. Is he worried? Is he worried that it's not coming as quickly as he'd hoped? And, you know, six games in and a bye, is he thinking by now he should have been on the same page with you?
Yeah, and he, you know, look, he's working hard at it, and we're all working hard at it. I'd say there's definitely a lot of improvement that we made and that we're going to continue to make. So I have a lot of trust and confidence in him. I don't lack for that at all. And he didn't get a lot of opportunities yesterday. I think that's the reality of that game. There was a lot of other guys that were in there. You know, Aaron was in there a lot. Gronk was in there a lot. Obviously, Wes and Deion have been out there. So that was just primarily the way it turned out yesterday. How it turns out this next, you know, and when we play Pittsburgh, I have no idea. But it'll probably be pretty different there, too. So, you know, every single person that's on the team is expected to contribute. And, you know, like I said, I have tons of confidence in Chad.
Hey, when you get the ball at 2.5 left, are you thinking 3 or 7?
Well, situationally, you're thinking about getting in the field goal range. Yeah. And then once we got in the field goal range, you're thinking we're scoring. So you play at a tempo where you're able to get the ball all the way down the field. You don't play at a tempo where you're, you know, trying to gain, I don't know where we got the ball, was the 20-yard line, 25-yard
line? 20-yard
line.
Yeah, 20.
20-yard line. So, you know, we got to get to the 35 to get in the field goal range for Steve. But once we got past that, you know, we were in it going down trying to score a touchdown.
So who's the most clutch guy you've ever played with? I mean, you get a lot of credit for being clutch for a good reason, and we always lump you in with, you know, Larry Bird and the great Joe Montana and the greats. But to you, who raised his game in those big moments the most?
God, we've had so many guys over the years. Look at all, you know, the championship, the guys that I play with on those championship teams were pretty clutch. David Patton, I mean, think how the critical touchdowns he's had in his career. Troy Brown, Wes Welker, Randy, Kevin Faulk. I mean, without a doubt, Kevin Faulk.
Yeah.
Kevin Faulk is probably the most clutch player I've ever played with. He is a remarkable player. And he's made so many big plays and big games for us. So we've had so many. The offensive line, Matt Light, I mean, he's his clutch player. He plays his best in the biggest games against the best opponents. So he's, you know, he's as tough as they come also.
How about Faulk this year? Will we see Kevin Faulk? Do you think he'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, yeah, I mean, I think so. He's on the team. So, you know, I know he's on PUP. This is the week where guys can start coming off PUP. So I don't know what Coach Belichick's going to do this coming week, but it's nice that he'll be out there and ready to be a part of the team. I know he's itching. Every time I see him, I keep saying there's a countdown for him. So I love seeing him out there in his 33 jersey on the practice field. I hope that comes very soon.
Hey, Tom, I don't know if you saw the highlights from the Lions 49ers at the end of the game, handshake gate between Swartz and Harbaugh. I'm wondering, are there rules for post-game decorum? Are you supposed to act a certain way when you're shaking the other guy's hand?
I'm not the best at shaking
hands. I know, you just take off.
But I don't know. It all depends on the guy, the player. And I saw that. I've been around Jim. He's a Michigan man, so he's competitive. He's just fiery. And who knows what was the point he was trying to get across, but he's pretty excitable.
Hey, Jerry and I have pooled our money. Next to the last question here. We're going to offer you $10 million for the house. We're not going to go to your full asking price. Take it or leave it right now. The $10
million. You'll have to talk to to my wife.
To the boss.
Negotiator. I'm pretty a bad negotiator. She's a lot tougher negotiator than I am.
I bet that condo fee kills you on that.
Though. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I bet it's like a couple $100. You know, I think? Brought to you by Auto Trader. Question of the week is, now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side-by-side at autotrader.com. Tom, they want to know, what's the difference between a no-huddle and a hurry-up offense? Or are they one and the same?
Not necessarily. No-huddle offense, like the Colts run no-huddle offense pretty much the whole game. They essentially don't huddle. They communicate the line of scrimmage. They're not necessarily going, you know, at a hurry-up pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hurry-up two-minute is, you know, really when you're trying to either a two-minute situation or where you're just really trying to speed the tempo of the game. So we do both within the course of a game. It just makes it makes the other team prepare for both. But ultimately, it comes down to execution. You go slow, fast, it doesn't matter. But if you're not completing passes or blocking the right guys or making the right decisions, and it really doesn't matter what pace you're going at, you're not going to be successful.
So how's the arm? Okay, we saw you icing or heating or whatever you did with that. Are you using?
Yeah.
You holding the phone with your left arm?
Well, it's just a little precautionary, so nothing to worry about.
How many days do you get to put your feet up before you go back to work in the bye week?
Well, we have work tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow Wednesday, and then we're off from Thursday to Monday. So it's it'll be good. It'll be good rest for everybody, and I think everyone's looking forward to it. But it's going to go fast, and we're going to be back at it before we know it. So it'll be a fun start to the second half of the year for us.
Enjoy your time off, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. Thank you.